It's an opportunity for my dad to make way too much food. And like, I remember one year, he had multiple different kinds of meats. Like, I think he just got a smoker that year. So he just put all the different kinds. There was like a brisket, a ham, a turkey, something else. And I think he realized about halfway in he had overdone it. But I always remember that Thanksgiving, like, Dad, what'd you do? Like, that's so much food.
Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and as always, I am here with my co-host, Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
So, Chris.
Yes.
Today's episode, we've got some interesting topics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first ones I want to talk about, we need to stay focused for. Maybe that's that's bad. That was a bad segue, and I apologize because
we're going to leave it in
because we're talking about ADHD.
Carly, I would have gotten so much trouble for that. So much trouble.
I'm so sorry. Anyways, today I do want to talk about this is a disorder that especially we see in teenagers.
Yeah.
And as more research is coming out and more people are aware of it, I think we even see it more often.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one that I wanted to talk about. Whether your teenager has ADHD, you think they might have a little bit of ADHD, or you're a teacher who's wanting to know how can I best support a teenager
mm-hmm.
who has this disorder. So ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. It's a neurodevelopment disorder. And it usually makes it difficult for especially kids and teenagers to concentrate, sit still, follow directions, control impulsive behavior. And so the things that you, especially when it comes to symptoms, I want to talk through a few of these. There are a lot.
Yeah.
And I also don't want you, if you're a parent sitting here going, oh my goodness, my teenager doesn't always focus. Mm-hmm. They must have ADHD.
Right.
Some of these just model normal teenager behavior.
Yeah, that's the complication around talking about this is one of those disorders that really runs parallel with how teenagers just act normally mm-hmm. In their specific phase of development. And so having a discerning eye, actually, you know your kid better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Lean into that as we talk through this. And we'll say this several times, but if you do suspect, talk to your doctor, go to a licensed medical professional about this instead of self-diagnosing on the internet.
Yes. News alert. Chris and I are not doctors.
Not yet.
Oh, did there something I need to know?
No.
Anyway, so you will not hear from us necessarily how to diagnose this because that is not going to be our expertise. We just want to talk about some things to be aware of and some ways to help. So like Chris said, if you're a teacher who might suspect something, talk to a parent. If you're a parent who might suspect something, go to your doctor. But when it comes to symptoms of ADHD, they kind of fall into two different buckets. One is inattentive symptoms, and the other is hyperactive or impulsive symptoms.
Inattentive symptoms? Yes.
Inattentive symptoms. So when it comes to inattentive symptoms, that is like, especially in school, making careless mistakes. Mm-hmm. They might overlook details. They're easily distracted or sidetracked. They have a hard time following instructions. This one I feel like we see with teenagers. They don't seem to be listening when they're spoken to. Mm-hmm. They might lose things, like their homework. That's the classic, my dog ate my homework.
Mm-hmm.
They forget jackets, backpacks, sports equipment. Those are some symptoms. Now, when it comes to hyperactive or impulsive symptoms of ADHD, this could be fidgeting or squirming. They're impatient. They talk excessively. They blurt out answers before a question is completed.
Mm-hmm.
They might interrupt or intrude on other people's conversations or activities. They might take things from others. When it comes to teenagers, they tend to display fewer of the hyperactive, those last group of symptoms I talked about. They tend to display fewer of those than younger kids.
That makes sense.
But at the same time, when it comes to, I think teenagers tend to have milder symptoms, but what's more difficult is more is expected
mm-hmm.
from teenagers at this age.
Right.
And so they might have less symptoms, or they might not be as in your face, but they're expected more at school, at home, through sports. And that can make it really difficult.
So the consequences of that are more significant for a teenager because of that.
Exactly. And when I was talking about like inattentive symptoms, mm-hmm. think about a teenager who not just has one teacher, mm-hmm. but they're going to seven classes every day that have seven different notebooks, seven different types of homework, tests on top of sports. If you struggle with some of these inattentive behaviors, mm-hmm. that is incredibly difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would think that boys probably deal with this more than girls.
Yes. So they typically have the more stereotypical symptoms. Mm-hmm. Like when you think of ADHD, you're probably thinking of maybe a boy comes to mind mm-hmm. when it comes to that. But girls have it too. Their symptoms tend to be more subtle. And when I was looking this up, I thought this was interesting. For girls, you tend to label them as dreamy or ditzy, that they're kind of spacey.
Right.
Or you might call them, if they have some of the other symptoms, you might call them emotional, or they might be pushy, depending on what their symptoms are. And so you might not think ADHD for them. You might just think, oh, they have a big personality.
Interesting.
And so that's something to be aware of for our girls, too, if they could be struggling as well. And it's probably not caught as much for the girls.
Yeah, the symptoms are presenting a lot different for girls than boys.
Exactly.
But I had never heard that before about the considered dreamy or ditzy. That's really interesting.
I know. Isn't that interesting? So, Chris, I do want to talk about some risks. And then I found these really cool resources that I'll link in the show notes. But when it comes to ADHD and teenagers, and then I also found a teacher's guide to ADHD. So cool. Kind of if you're a teacher, how to help and what to be aware of. But let's talk. There are some risks that come with ADHD. So I want to talk about those. But then for each of these buckets, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about how can we help and not just give you here's what's happening, but let's give you some practical tools with this. So one of the things is academics. As we talked about, without support, they could have lower grade point averages. There's a higher rate of school failure or suspension of problem behavior because they probably struggle mm-hmm. in school. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're a bad kid. They have a diagnosable disorder that's could cause behavior, there's academic problems at least, for sure.
Right. And so let's think through some ways that we can help this. One way is to talk to the school. Mm-hmm. School has resources for this. And so I would lean into your school and maybe even get tutors.
One thing I want to interject there, not only as a parent or a helper would you need to lean into the school, but also be receptive to what the school is telling you.
Yeah.
Because I've heard stories of, you know, school counselors or administrators calling parents with a suspected that your child might have this disorder and parents being very defensive about mm-hmm. it. Like, no, not my child. And this is where one of those instances where we need to partner with the schools and be on the same team for our kids and be open if we're even suspecting something and that we get that phone call, not to take that defensively.
Yeah, that's good. One thing too is helping them stay organized. Episode 25, I'll link that. We talked about some of that and some ways to help our teenagers stay organized, especially when it comes to school skills and that. So that's a good one to listen to if you think your teenager is struggling mm-hmm. academically. Now, peer relationships. This one was interesting to me, Chris, because about half of adolescents with ADHD have serious problems with peer relationships. They have fewer reciprocal friendships. They're more likely to be ignored or rejected. They're also more likely to be a victim of bullying, or they might bully others.
Why do you think that is? That's interesting.
I know. I'm wondering if some of that goes back to if it's hard for them to focus. They might forget things. Mm-hmm. They might seem more like a mooching friend if mm-hmm. they don't have money or if they forgot something and they need to borrow things. One of the symptoms, too, I think I said, is interrupting people. Mm-hmm. That can get annoying, mm-hmm. honestly. And so maybe that's something, too, that teens might struggle with. Or if they're trying to overcompensate, that might be a case for where they might bully others because there's an insecurity there.
And I would imagine, too, especially for the girls, that they are, you know, aloof or inattentive just in their social relationships, how that would come across, like mm-hmm. you're not interested in me, you're not interested in talking to me, or you know, you're a snob or whatever, could be accused of that when that's not really the case. Their minds are drifting and not paying attention.
Right. And so for this one, just know who your teen is spending time with encourage conversations. If they don't feel comfortable talking to you, we've talked about find another adult that they do feel comfortable talking to about their friendships. Also, if they need a therapist, we talked about last episode, finding help in encouraging them to get outside help is okay. Now, emotional functioning is another risk. Those with ADHD sometimes have poor emotion regulation. They might have really high highs and really low lows. They could also be impulsive. And this kind of comes with this difficulty to deal with frustration.
Yeah, so this seems like a really good opportunity for parents and helpers to practice cool down strategies, coping mechanisms, you know, really work on those basic, trying to regulate behavior or regulate emotion, maybe more so, so those behaviors don't follow. And we do this a lot in teen life groups of just of like talking about how can we cool down when we're frustrated. And I just imagine if you have ADHD, you know, things could get really frustrating.
Yeah.
You don't know why you're not keeping up. Don't know why, you know, things are so hard and you're going to lash out, you know? And so having kids have those coping tools could be really helpful.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to risky behavior, research also shows that teens with ADHD start using cigarettes, alcohol, or drugs earlier than typical kids. They tend to become sexually active earlier. They're also more likely to have unsafe sex, which obviously leads to some other things. And so this is one that especially if you're a parent, maybe minimize the unstructured or unsupervised time that your teenager has. And then talk about risks. Talk about the risks of drugs and alcohol abuse and sexual activity. Hopefully that's conversations you're already having with your teenager, but keep those lines of communication open.
Well, this also goes back to the previous one about the coping strategies. I mean, because everything you just talked about there are unhealthy coping strategies. You know? And so if they are, if it's all too much where everyone else seems to have this figured out but me, I can't keep everything together. With that cigarette should just cool me down, cool me off or settle me down or whatever. There are other ways. And so helping them know what those healthy coping strategies are will be a big part of the risky behavior as well.
Right. And finally, I want to talk about driving. We've done a couple episodes on driving, but teens with ADHD have just different issues behind the wheel that on top of just being a teenager, they might have trouble with inattention or impulsivity. They have higher rates of traffic tickets, accidents, and the accidents tend to be more serious. And so this is something, man, if you're a parent, just be aware of this. Make sure that you're taking extra time to teach them how to drive. Some might consider, you know your kid better than anyone else, so you might consider delaying that a little bit until they're more mature. If your teenager takes medication for ADHD, just have conversations about, hey, especially if you're behind the wheel, then you need to make sure that you're taking that medication.
Right.
So these are some things when it comes to ADHD that we want you to be aware of. Like I said, I'll post these resources, do some more research into it as well. And like we said, talk to a doctor if you need to. Chris, it is Thanksgiving week.
I love this week.
I am so pumped. I love Thanksgiving. We talked about last episode, turkey is not my favorite, but that doesn't mean I don't love Thanksgiving.
So if we were to power rank the holidays.
Oh, man.
So I'm throwing this at you last minute.
Okay.
Top three.
Well, Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving would be up there. My family always gets together, and I love that part of it. I get to see, especially when we do it with my family, aunts and uncles that, I mean, I only see at Thanksgiving, usually. Oh, man. I really enjoy Easter. Does my birthday count as a holiday?
I guess it does.
I would probably throw Easter up there too.
See, I'm the other way around. I really like Thanksgiving even over Christmas, which is so weird. I do like Christmas a lot. There's some pressures and stuff that come with Thanksgiving, I feel like. Christmas. Is that, you know, Thanksgiving's kind of that holiday that hasn't been commercialized as much as, matter of fact, and in the retail world, they kind of want to skip over Thanksgiving, you know, because I mean, everything, all Christmas stuff starts on November 1st. There's big controversies around that. But, you know, it feels like Thanksgiving's still kind of a pure holiday.
Yes. Well, and I think when it comes to Thanksgiving, what are some of your favorite parts? Every family does Thanksgiving.
You know, so my family, growing up, we were military, and mm-hmm. so we moved a lot, and so we never really we were never around our extended family a whole lot because we lived in Europe for a while, and I remember those Thanksgivings being more immediate family and friend based because mm-hmm. you know, we were all deployed in a certain part of the world, and so none of us were around our extended family, so we, you know, spent a lot of time together with friends and family, you know, our close family and friends. And so a lot of watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade always seems to be, yeah, I don't know what it, I mean, I don't watch parades, but I'll watch that all morning. I don't know what that is. And I love cooking, and I'm kind of the cook at our house right now. And so I like to try new things. And it's just something about the day that it's kind of set aside where I know there's not a whole lot going on. I can't expect my people to be emailing me or calling me. Like, it's mm-hmm. just really about family. So,
right. I'm the same. I love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We always watch the Cowboys
mm-hmm.
on Thanksgiving. So football. Growing up, we haven't done as much recently, but maybe I need to bring it back this year. Growing up, we always did like a touch football game.
Mm-hmm.
All my family would get out and play football or play catch.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing something together. Some years we've gone on a hike. For a while, we used to do like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so Josh's family, my husband's family, which I love, their deal, they celebrate Thanksgiving, and then that night they watch a Christmas movie mm-hmm. to kind of welcome in the Christmas
mm-hmm.
season, and we eat all the dessert and get in our PJs, and
mm-hmm.
so just fun. I feel like there are so many traditions that come with Thanksgiving. Christmas too, but there's something about Thanksgiving that those traditions, you know what to expect. You know which family member is bringing the
mm-hmm.
sweet potato casserole, or you mm-hmm. know what the turkey's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a fried or a baked? What kind of turkey do you do, Chris? This is, I feel like, a big question.
I guess more baked than fried because I don't know the last time I had a fried turkey, to be honest with you. It's good.
It is good.
Yeah. Usually spicier.
My family fries their turkeys. My husband's family's a big smoked turkey fan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very different.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for my dad to make way too much food. And like, I remember one year, he had multiple different kinds of meats. Like, I think he just got a smoker that year. So he just put all the different kinds. There was like a brisket, a ham, a turkey, something else. And I think he realized about halfway in he had overdone it. But I always remember that Thanksgiving, like, Dad, what'd you do? Like, that's so much food.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about this last week. Be intentional about including teenagers in this day, especially in the planning of this day. But one thing I want to bring up too, Chris, is this is a really easy time of year to be intentional about looking outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with teenagers, sometimes we need to encourage that it's not all about us. It's not all about what's going on in their life. But what are some ways that we can serve others, bless others? There are a lot of opportunities this time of year.
Yeah. And I'll come back to that in a second. But I will say I recall many Thanksgivings where there were teenage cousins that were there, and it always seemed like the teenagers were the ones who seemed the most out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't know how to talk to their grandparents or,
right.
You know, that distant relative. They always seemed the most uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong about that, but kids seem to be fine, all that. But teenagers just seem to be the ones who struggle the most in those kind of social settings.
Or are they at the adult table? Are they still sitting with the kids?
Yeah,
there's a lot that goes into that.
And there's a big questions around that. But what I would say about getting outside of themselves, I think helping them identify what do they care about.
Mm.
And there's probably a place you can help with that. Now, a great example that just happened recently with my own kid. I don't have teenagers yet, but younger kids, but I've got a 7-year-old who plays on a baseball team, and they decided, hey, we do so much for these kids. We want to give these kids an opportunity to give back. And so they decided to do a toy drive. And what my son decided to do was put up his own money. And he got online on our neighborhood Facebook page and basically told everyone, hey, I want to raise money to buy toys for kids that don't have toys. And he says, I've got $10. Will you give $10 on top of that. Like, mm-hmm. basically, will you match my $10? I'm putting my own money in. What will you do?
Wow.
And he got like over $100 doing that. Just basically saying, I believe in this so much, I'm giving him my own money on that. And so it's a really concrete example of if there's something that your teenager cares about, if it's homelessness, if it's mental health, if it's food inequity, if it's whatever that is, that's a great chance for a teenager to find what they care about and actually do something about it. And the holidays are an easy time to do that.
Right. And I think even easy ways, if they don't feel like they have money, or if your family doesn't feel like you have money to invest in that, look through your pantry. Mm-hmm. Do you have old food or cans that you're not going to use? Could that go to someone? Look through your teenager's clothes. Man, they outgrow clothes like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. Where can you take that someone else will be blessed by that?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you kind of make this habit of every year on Thanksgiving, we're going to do something to bless others, but let them take the point. I love that idea. Let mm-hmm. them take the point on what they want that to be. And if you have multiple teenagers in your house, it might look different. You mm-hmm. might have different places that you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really powerful. For the tip, Chris, we're not skipping over Thanksgiving because we just talked about it, but Christmas season is upon us.
It is.
If you're like a lot of people, man, there's been a heavy debate on social media of when it comes to Christmas and Thanksgiving, because some people firmly believe you wait until after Thanksgiving to start Christmas. And then there's also a big portion who start Christmas November 1st. They take like a one-day break
mm-hmm.
for Thanksgiving, and then they're right back into Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you fall on this?
For me, and this is not like sometimes Christmas wears me out a little bit because mm-hmm. there's so much going on with it. So I kind of like it to be in that December time, like post-Thanksgiving. But it's more just my own not being able to handle how much people want out of you during that time. And so,
a little Scroogey?
Yeah, a little Scroogey. Yeah, yeah. But that's real. It's not like some kind of moral stand. It's just like, let's enjoy the... And I just like Thanksgiving myself. So.
Yeah. So when it comes to Christmas, though, I like a little bit of both. I really mostly wait to fully dive into Christmas until after Thanksgiving. But this year, I have seen everywhere, and I'll also post a link, that we need to start Christmas shopping early.
Mm-hmm.
That there's going to be maybe some supply chain and inventory issues. There might be fewer sales than years past just mm-hmm. because of what our economy looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these are going to start earlier. So I don't know about you, but I've been looking at just random things on Amazon, and some things ship fast and some things are taking forever to get to me. Even things that normally would take a couple of days are already being pushed far out.
Yeah.
So my tip, start early. Let's go. Get those lists together.
That's a good tip for me, Carly, because I always wait to the last minute.
I had to tell my husband. He is a classic, like Christmas Eve, he will disappear. Uh-huh. And I will be like, huh, where's Josh? He's buying my Christmas
uh-huh.
the day before. And so I had to tell him this year, sir, you need to start early.
Who's going to hold the stereotype, though, right? I mean, we us husbands, wait till the last minute, we have our place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But especially if you are a parent, if your teenager buys stuff for other people, if you are hoping to get stuff last minute, maybe this is the year to plan ahead. And maybe that'll also help your stress level, because
yes.
when it comes to Christmas and the week of, you will be done, they will be wrapped, everything will be ready to go.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.